I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything in the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way.
So, is that better? Yep. So as you can imagine, I spend a lot of my week praying with and praying for people. And my prayer for tonight is that I might encourage you to pray. So we're looking at intercession. This is part one. I think Olwyn's doing part two next week. And the word intercession means praying for someone else. It says in 1 Timothy, I urge then, first of all, that requests and prayers and intercessions and thanksgiving be made for everyone. And Jesus is the great intercessor. And there's lots of scriptures. I haven't got time to go into them all. But even as far back as Isaiah, we were told about the person who would come, who would make intercession for transgressors. We're told in Romans that he's at the right hand of God, interceding for us. So we have this wonderful picture of Jesus right now, on your behalf and my behalf, praying and interceding, standing in the gap for us before the throne of grace. So intercessory prayer, praying in intercessory prayer, what is it? Why is it different from other prayers? Well, an intercessory prayer is prayed on behalf of other people. It's where somebody else takes another person's case, in effect, and stands before God on their behalf. One of the study Bibles I looked at defines it like this. It's holy, believing, persevering prayer whereby somebody pleads with God on behalf of another who is in desperate need of God's intervention. Now, I don't know about you, but there are times, whether it's for a person or a situation that I see going on in the world, when I feel as though I am pleading before the throne of grace. And I want to encourage you that intercessory prayer is often an invisible prayer. We're not always with the person that we're praying on behalf of, and we're not all part of the situation that we're bringing before God. It may be invisible, but it's invaluable. And it shouldn't stop us praying because we're not with that person or we're not part of that situation. Tonight, Paul is writing these words from prison. He's praying for the Ephesians from his cell in prison. But it doesn't stop him praying. And I thought it'd be really good tonight to look at the scripture that we've just had read to us by Johnny. And look at what Paul is saying. Look at how he prayed. He listened. He said, since I heard. He was persistent. He gave thanks. He remembered. He asked for the Spirit. He asked for revelation so that you might know him better. And he revealed the hope. So let's look in more detail. Let's look at listening. Paul says, ever since I heard. He starts off this prayer by saying, listen, I heard something and it stirred me up. It stirred me to pray. Ever since I heard, I prayed. Now, I don't know about you, but when we get those prayer chain messages, I love it. I'm like, right, I'm on it. You know, we had one last week about Sue's mom, and it's like, you know what? I'm on that. I'm praying right now. And that's what happened to Paul. He was alerted to something that stirred inside him, and he started to pray. And conversations in a week, perhaps even here tonight over coffee, when somebody says something to you that resonates. Or maybe they don't say it, but you can feel it. It's like a baseline. And you think, wow, I need to pray for them. And often, the enemy kind of snatches that feeling away, and we go out through the door and we forget about it. We just forget about it. And it's to say to you tonight, to encourage you to be alert to prayer needs, whether they're here in the fellowship or worldwide. It started with Paul listening. I heard, ever since I heard. And then he was persistent. How does he pray for these wonderful people? Is it now and again? No, I've not stopped giving thanks for you and remembering you in my prayers. He tells us it's a constant thing, that now it's stirred him up, he's on it big time. Oh, I'd love to have had him praying for me, wouldn't you? It's like, right, I'm on this. I'm sending up prayers. I'm going to keep on praying. That's such a challenge. Such a challenge. My daughter, through difficult circumstances, lost her job in April. And as you can imagine, I have been sending them up big time. Now, she hasn't got a job yet. We've had third interviews and second interviews and presentations and people who come back to her and people who don't come back to her. And I know the enemy wants me to give up. He wants to convince me that God isn't hearing my prayers. And that's rubbish. There's a very famous book by a man who's got a very odd name called Dutch Sheets. It's weird, isn't it? I know. And he wrote a book on intercessory prayers. And he says this, we don't wait well. We're into microwaving, but God, on the other hand, is into marinating. We want instant. Oh, we kind of give up and forget. I want to urge you not to stop praying. It says in verse 17 so clearly, Paul keeps asking. He's not giving up or giving in. It's a real commitment. Now he's been stirred up. I'm going to keep going. And I'm sure that's prayer, how God intended. He started to pray and he's. And I want to encourage you tonight. I want to say to you, don't forget that God does work through the prayers of his people. Please don't doubt that. Don't doubt that your prayers, either corporate prayers or private prayers, don't reach the ears of God. They do. And God does work through our prayers. And as I'm speaking tonight, perhaps the Spirit will bring back to you a person or a situation that is saying, hey, don't give up. Keep praying that prayer. And then it says that Paul gave thanks. I've not stopped giving thanks. Paul was giving thanks for the newfound faith that the Ephesians had. They were babies in their faith. And he knew that they were, like all of us, vulnerable, flawed vessels. But he gave thanks for them. He gave thanks for what God had started in them. He gave thanks to God for them. Such a challenge. Who do we give thanks for? Do we give thanks for the person who led us to Christ in the first place? Or that person who just smiled at us or had a few words for us? Giving thanks is a good thing when you're praying for people. If you give thanks for your own answered prayers, we won't give thanks for others if we don't give thanks ourselves for the things we see answered in prayer. And then he says, I'm remembering you in my prayers, in verse 16. And remembering, when you look it up, says, remembering is keeping in mind for your attention or your consideration. I like that. That's it. That sums it up. We are stirred by the Spirit and we commit to pray for those who the Lord lays on our heart. And we keep considering them. We keep praying for them. We keep remembering them. We keep them in front of us. And remembering somebody in prayer is how we walk with them. It's how we walk with them, especially if we're a distance away like Paul was. Remembering is what we can do in the background when we don't get involved in a particular situation. But we know there are prayer needs, quiet intercessions, prayer, invisible but valuable. I'm sometimes felt really challenged. Some of us get together before the service and we listen to God, and often there are words and pictures. And when people come to the rail in the morning, you've no idea if somebody has taken up and claimed one of your pictures or one of your words. But it stirs me to pray. Because if God gave me it and said, there's somebody here today who's whatever, or there's somebody that might need, or somebody who's feeling like that, then it makes me want to carry on praying for whoever that was. I want to encourage you to keep remembering people in prayer. Remembering the people that you've prayed for in your home group, in your prayer triplet, here after a service. Keep remembering them. It's how you keep your attention, how you keep considering them, keeping them before God. And then Paul prays in verse 17, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. What wonderful things to pray for somebody. The glorious Father, wisdom, revelation, so you can know God better. Because the more we pray his prayers, and the more we see people through God's eyes, the more we know how to pray for them. And people have often said to me, oh, I'd love to give prayer after the service, but I wouldn't know what to pray. And tonight, Paul's teaching us what to pray. What wonderful thing to pray, that they might get to know God better, that they might meet Jesus, that the Spirit would come upon them with wisdom and revelation and reveal Jesus to them. And often our prayers are just a bit too insular, or they're shopping list prayers. Mine are sometimes. And Paul hasn't come along with a great long list from the Ephesians of stuff. And yet I'm sure, like us, they had financial problems and illness and relationship stuff and desires and wants, all that stuff, which is nothing wrong in praying for those things. Each one of them really important. And yet when you look at the letters of Paul and the prayers that come out of prison, all his prayers, he could have been praying for a nicer jailer, or that the chains wouldn't rub his hands and feet, his wrists and ankles too much, or, you know, or that, you know, and then put money into the church. But all Paul's prayers focus on spiritual perception and development of a Christ-like character. And here tonight, he's actually praying in these verses that the Ephesians would know who they are in Christ. He wants them to understand and have an appreciation of not only who they are in Christ, but who Christ actually is. He wanted them to have a profound appreciation of who they are in Jesus, and then to use all the resources and their gifts and their talents that have been made available to them. He wanted them to understand what a great wealth they have in Christ, the Spirit who comes and brings wisdom and revelation. And he'd heard about their faith and their love, and he rejoiced in it. But he doesn't ask God to give them what they haven't got, but to reveal what they have got in Jesus. To reveal Jesus to them. One of these big, thick commentaries that you never want to drop on your toe has a story about a man called William Randolph Hearst, who was a very wealthy American. And he saw an article in a magazine about an amazing work of art, and he was an art collector. And he said to his people, because they always have people, he said to his people, "I want that. Do whatever it takes, find it, because I want that." And they spent weeks tracking down this piece of art, only to find it was in one of Mr. Hearst's own warehouses, covered up. He owned it all along. And this is what Paul was saying to them. There's some things, because you're in Christ, that you have because the Spirit's within you. He wanted them to really grasp how magnificent it was and how unlimited the blessings that were there for them in Christ. He wanted God to give them the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. He wanted them to see the God who gives them everything he needs, that they need. Because Paul was probably a prison cell. He was probably aware that there was nothing he could do and nothing he was going to give that was going to change the situation. And that's often like us when we pray. It's not about us, is it? It's about the Spirit working through us. Thank goodness it's not about us. So he focuses his prayer on them getting to know Jesus better. And I think when you're praying with somebody or for somebody and you're interceding and you're pleading, you realize your own helplessness. You realize that there really isn't anything we can do. But we are praying to the powerful God who can eliminate the mountains, our mountains or somebody else's mountains. And Ephesians 3 says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to that to his power that's at work in us." Amazing. And Paul is 100% convinced that nothing but the unique, amazing power of God can change people and situations for good. So he prayed for the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that they would get to know Jesus better, so that they would be able to know and experience his love, have his hope, and know the power of the Holy Spirit. There's I think it's a Graham Kendrick song that we used to sing years ago that says, "Knowing you, Jesus, there is no greater thing." And Paul is summing that up here. What a wonderful thing to pray over someone or pray about someone, that they might have a revelation of Jesus, the hope of the world. And I felt a real personal challenge there as well at this point. I thought, you know, is that a goal of mine? It's lovely to think I would trot that out for somebody else, that they might have a revelation and get to know Jesus and all that. Do I pray that for me? Is that one of my goals as I work through the year, that I would know Jesus more and more and more, getting to know him, experiencing him? And I think our experience of God is designed to be one that changes and deepens, grows and develops, just like any other relationship that we have. But that only happens when we spend time with him, when we get to know a friend. And then Paul prays in verse 18, I pray that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. Know the hope. Because we've been called, because we know Jesus, we then have this wonderful hope. When we were lost in our sin, we were people without hope. But the minute we turn to Jesus, he gives us a living hope. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing to bring to people when you pray for them. May you know the hope that's found in Jesus. It's hope with a capital H. That's what keeps me going when I'm slogging my prayers for my daughter and a job. It's hope. I know the hope with the capital H. And that is the kind of hope that Paul is praying here, that they would get to know Jesus. It's the best thing we can pray when we're interceding for other people, that they would get to know him, that God would reveal himself to them. So I think just in those, pulling out just a few of those phrases that Paul was praying, gives us a wonderful model for intercession. Whether we're with somebody or whether we're on our own praying for people or situations across the world. I don't know an area of our world that doesn't need the hope that's revealed in Jesus, that doesn't need that wisdom and revelation if they're world leaders. So you can widen it up and you can bring it right down to that one person that God has laid on your heart. And as I said at the beginning, it's often an invisible but invaluable ministry. The value of intercessory prayer is tremendous. We're interceding for others. And these are God's people that he loves. And when we're interceding for others, loving others goes hand in hand with it. Because I bet you any money Paul loved these Ephesians. He thought, oh, great, a new little church just starting up. His heart beats, he's stirred up for them. He prayed for them because he loved them in Christ. And we intercede because we love, love. Intercession begins with love. Your love for a people, your love for a person. Romans 12 tells us that we rejoice with those who mourn. No, we rejoice with those who rejoice and we mourn with those who mourn. And standing with someone by being an intercessor is doing just that. Because you see, community, being together, being the body, whether that's worldwide, your home group, this fellowship, your prayer partner, community is God's answer to defeat. When we stand together, the enemy hates it. We need people who can stand with us and pray on our behalf. Because there are times when we find it hard to pray for ourselves. When I pray for my daughter, my mother stuff gets in the way. I'm the mother, I should be able to sort this. So I have had to ask a couple of friends to keep praying about it for me, to intercede, because, yeah, I get a bit too much. So community is really important. And when people are interceding, what they're saying is, we're with you. We will stand with you. We will not let you fall. We will not let you become a target for the enemy. We will stand right alongside you. In fact, if you're struggling with your faith and you're struggling to find the hope, we'll pull our faith over you. We're not going to let you go. That's intercession. Ecclesiastes 4 has this amazing verse that says, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Love that. Love that picture. It then says, three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. And I love that picture of the Spirit being the third bit that says, right, you two are praying, I'm with you, come on. It's just a great picture. So community is really important. So don't be surprised if the Spirit starts tugging at your heart to take some sort of action about a matter you're praying about or you hear. Don't let it go, because he might be asking you to be more than just a bystander. He might be asking you to be ready to intercede, to go full throttle in prayer. He might say, bring me in your energy. I can use these. Put them to good use and pray for somebody. Because it really is a privilege to pray for people. These are God's precious people we're interceding for. You can call them intercessors or prayer warriors or whatever label you put on them. But they are part of the body of Christ and they're essential. They go before us so often. Before we do Alpha, there's people praying. At a church I went to a few years ago, a group of intercessors used to pray in a small room all the way through the morning service. Intercessors prepare the way. And it would be wonderful at the end if you feel that God's calling you to that amazing ministry, to be an intercessor, to come forward and have some prayer. We'd love to pray for you. But I want to encourage you to pray.